already. How about you? And I'd be nervous if I came to church and not feel the presence of the Lord like we have. But I know that He's here. And I know if the Lord is here, He's come with an agenda. He's come for a reason, for a purpose. I don't believe the Lord just comes by for nothing. But I believe He has a plan. And I believe He's given us an opportunity to touch the hem of His garment. That woman had an opportunity to touch the hem of His garment that day. Though she was sick and though she was critical, like Brother Webb was talking about, there was a critical need there. But the Lord gave her an opportunity, and with that opportunity there was obstacles that had to be overcame. But she pressed through the crowd, and she didn't let anything else hinder her or stop her from what she so desperately needed. I'd like to press through tonight, wouldn't you? And not let anything in this world or anything out of this world, the devil or anything else, keep me from touching the hem of His garment tonight. And I believe the Lord's here to help us, and so glad to see you tonight, and we're just glad to be here. We appreciate Brother Webb so very much. We admire him. Thankful for him. He's just a hero of the faith. We appreciate the church at Keene Mountain and all you've done for us already. The meal that was brought in today was just wonderful, and we thank you for that. I want to read from the book of Acts, if you have your Bible. The book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. I want to start reading in verse number 25. I felt the Lord deal with me on this today. And so you pray that the Lord would help us just to preach and feel His anointing and help us in the altar service. Acts 16 and 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Verse 26 says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed." I want to preach tonight for just a little bit, if the Lord would help me, on when hell interferes, heaven intervenes. When hell interferes, heaven intervenes. There's one thing that is certain tonight. If you'll look at Acts chapter number 16, even before we get to this prison scene, if you'll read this chapter, there is one thing that is certain. Revival will bring results. When the Spirit of God begins to move, things will begin to happen. I remember reading of a man who was walking through a particular village. And he asked the question, he said, "Who cleaned up all these slums here for the fishermen and built all these cottages on the seashores?" And the man that was traveling there in Aberdeenshire, Scotland, was asking his friend about the transformation. His friend told him, said, "Radcliffe and Turner held a revival here,
And all of these fishermen who one time were wicked men and neglected their families for the saloon got converted, cleaned up the slum, and built these cottages on the seashore, and God made a difference. My friend, that's because revival will bring results. And that's exactly what was happening in Acts chapter number 16. People were being delivered. People were being saved. People were being converted. And the power of God was at work in the lives of people. And my friend, every time that God begins to bless and people begin to be transformed by the power of God, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that hell will try and stop a move of the Holy Ghost. But my friend, I still believe that greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The devil may try and hinder revival, but the devil cannot stop revival. The devil does not hold the key to revival. God does. The devil does not have the say-so on what happens in this service tonight. God does. And even though there was revival, and even though that because of the move of God, these preachers were in prison, the Bible said it was the midnight hour. And Paul and Silas, they were not defeated, but they were determined. Because they knew that God, the same God that was there before they got in the prison, would be the same God that was there to bring them out of the prison. And it may have been midnight, and everybody around may have been sleeping. But my friend Paul and Silas were expecting the unexpected. They were waiting on God to come. They were waiting on God to move. And it may be midnight in somebody's life here tonight, but we're right here on a Monday night and we're just waiting on God to do what only God can do. The hands of men are insufficient, but the hand of God is always sufficient to come to where you are. My friend, they could have been pouting. They could have been doubting, but instead they were praying and singing praises unto God. I believe prayer works in 2009, don't you? I believe God's hearing us right now in this service tonight. And I believe God's still answering prayer. I like what one man said. He said these men in this prison held the first benefit gospel singing that ever was. They held the first benefit gospel music singing that had ever been held. As they began to sing in that prison, the first one that was benefited, God was. Because they began to sing praises unto God. But not only did God get the benefit, the prisoners got the benefit. But they heard them singing, and the prison doors were open. My friend, the jailer got some benefit because he fell on his face and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas got the benefit because the jailer of all jailers came down, the high sheriff of heaven, and let them out and set them free. My friend, they had a song even in their sorrow. They had a prayer even in their pain. My friend, there was a rumbling of revival that began to move in that prison house. For my friend, even though they were shackled, my friend, they couldn't put God out. And even though they put these preachers in, they couldn't keep him out. My friend, you may be in a place that you think you never would have found yourself in. My friend, you feel shut out. But my friend, tonight, you can't ever shut heaven out. And when we pray, the thing that happened there is the thing that we need to happen here tonight. God came down suddenly, and there was a great earthquake. There was a great disturbance. There was a great commotion. And things began to happen. And God began to move as that earthquake began to shatter all the things that held them captive. My friend, God had came that night to set the captive free. And I believe the same God is here on a Monday night to set somebody free in this house. My friend, the earthquake was a symbol of God's presence and God's power. You remember on Calvary, there was a great earthquake. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And rocks were rent into pieces. An earthquake that made things happen. On resurrection morning, before that angel rolled the stone away, there was a great earthquake that heralded the living Savior and the ever-living Christ. And the world shook because God was alive. And my friend, I believe this world of circumstances that seek to bring you low, I believe God can shake them. And God can give us an earthquake here on a Monday night of revival. And things can begin to happen. Oh, hallelujah. There's some of you looking beyond the bars and you're saying, can anything happen? Can anything take place? Is it always going to be behind this confinement and in this place of solitary situation? But my friend, heaven sent a divine earthquake and began to disturb the devil's plans. And I said, the devil may have plans for you, but God has bigger plans and greater plans, and God has the authority. Can you say amen? Woo! Acts 4:31 said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I remember hearing of a woman after a great earthquake in a small village. Everybody in the village was upset about this natural disaster. Except one elderly woman. She was calm. And even, Brother Rice, it looked like she had joy. And the people couldn't understand it. And one of the younger women went to her and said, Mother, aren't you afraid? And the woman replied, no, I'm not afraid. She said, I rejoice in the fact that my God can shake the world. There's no need for somebody here tonight to be fearful. And there's no need for you to stand in that place and wonder if God can come to your rescue and if heaven can be the first responder and can break you loose from the situation that you're in. I said you can take rest and you can be confident and you can know tonight that we serve a God that can make a world and He can shake the world. I said it's His world and He can shake it and He can make it into what He wants it to be. My friend, I want you to notice when that earthquake happened, there was four things that I see happen. First thing, God shook the foundation. Second thing, the doors were open. The third thing, prisoners were set free. And the fourth thing, the darkness was dispelled when God sent an earthquake. And I'll tell you right now where some of us are tonight. It was like that bishop in England sent out a memo, Brother Nathan, to all of the other pastors. And he said, I want us to meet in London on a particular date for a day of quiet prayer. And one particular pastor sent a memo back to the head bishop. And he said, in London, A quiet day of prayer may be all you need. But he said, where I live, we need an earthquake. Hallelujah to God. And I believe where some of you are living tonight, you need an earthquake. You need something that's going to shake the foundation. You need something that's going to open the doors. You need something that's going to loose you and let you go and shine a light in a dark place, that you can know that God still knows where you are and God still knows how to come to the rescue. My friend, there were foundations of that prison that God cradled in his hand, and he began to shake them like you would shake a tree. My friend, you can take a sapling and you can shake it with your hand, but God can take a situation and he can shake it and he can make it into a place where you come out and where you live and you give glory unto God. There was a foundation of false security. That jailer laid down that night and he had a key and he was in control. But when he woke up and all the doors were open, his key didn't work no more. He wasn't in control. When he went to bed that night, the foundation of that prison was secure. But when God stepped down, that foundation was insecure. Those magistrates laid their head on their pillow that night and said, we've got our prisoners safe. But my friend, when God came down and revival began to break out, that foundation wasn't as secure as they thought it was. And my friend, sometimes we look at our own abilities. We look at our own strength. We look at the fact that we've been in this a while and maybe we can work it out. But my friend, that is a false security. The only real security that we have in our situations is the rock of ages. It's the power of the Lord. It's the strong arm of God. There's people that say, I've got job, I've got wealth, I've got property, and I've got health. But my friend, that's a false security tonight. I said, that can all change. That can all flee away. That can all be gone. But there is a foundation. There is a rock. There is a stability. There is a security. And his name is Jesus. I said, you can stand on the rock. And the rock, I never fail. My friend, one man said, I may shake on the rock, but the rock's never shook on me. I read of two young children that were walking through a tunnel, a rock tunnel, that trains came through. And they got halfway through the tunnel, and they heard the blare of that train, and they saw the light on the end of that engine. And it was too far to go forward, and it was too far to go back. That little boy and his sister, 9, 10, 11 years old, got up against that wall and pressed themselves as close as they could to that wall. And that little sister looked to her brother and said, I'm scared, I'm afraid, what's going to happen? And as that train passed by, that brother was saying, just hold to the rock. Just hold to the rock. Just hold to the rock. My friend, you may be in a dark place tonight, and it may seem like hell is bearing down on where you are. And sometimes we're standing on a shaky foundation. But I want to tell somebody in this revival meeting that you can hold to the rock, and the rock will never let you fail, and he'll never let you falter. I said there's foundations in this world that will be shaken, but there is a foundation in heaven that will never be shaken. There's some marriages that our times are shaky. Our economy's shaky. Our government's shaky. Jobs are shaky. But my friend, where we are tonight is solid ground. Hallelujah to God. When God began to move, foundations were shaken and doors were open. He said, the Bible says, immediately the door was open. I really believe God would like to open some doors in this house tonight. I really believe there's people that you feel captive. And I'm not even going to try to endeavor into the list of what all those captivities may be, because probably they're just as individual as the person we are. And I don't have to call your captivity for you to know that you stand in a place of isolation, because I believe right now the Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart with what you already know. I'm in a place and I need the door to open. But my friend, he told him in Hosea that there is a door of hope in the valley of Achor. There is a door of hope in the valley of trouble. And you may be in a valley of trouble here tonight, child of God. But my friend, I still believe that he has the key to every lock that the devil has ever tried to sequester a child of God with. He said, I hold the keys. I said, heaven has still got the key to where you are. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress, when Pilgrim was in Doubting Castle, and he really didn't know how he was going to get out, Brother Webb. But all the while, he had something on his person that was given by another. And while he was wondering if he could ever get out of Doubting Castle, he reached in his pocket, and there was a key called promise. Why don't you check your pockets tonight? Why don't you check your pockets of faith and see if there may be a key in there called promise? But oh, the devil says just because you have a key don't mean it's going to fit your door. Won't you try it tonight? Oh, hallelujah to God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I remember talking about earthquakes. There's a village in India that after an earthquake comes, they're so superstitious and primitive. Brother Webb, after an earthquake would come, they would take nails and hammer, and they'd go out through all the village, and they would nail nails into the ground, Brother Nathan, to make it firm again. And we laugh and say that's ludicrous. But when I read that, I thought when those doors opened, that the earthquake of heaven rattled loose. It would do just as good for the devil to take hammer and nails and try to nail that door shut as it would some person in India trying to nail dirt in place again after God sent an earthquake. And you're wondering, if I try to get out, will hell shut the door? If I try to make a move, will the devil stop me? If I try to take a step of faith, is the door going to slam and let me down again? But Jesus said, I'll open a door that no man can shut. My friend, he can open the door that no devil can shut, and he can loose you and let you out. You ever get tired of looking at life through prison bars? I believe God wants to open the door for somebody. And the prisoners, the shackles fell off. Now, it would be one thing for the door to open and the shackles to remain. But when God opens the door, he'll remove the shackles. And it don't matter what that shackle is. It don't matter if it's fear or doubt, circumstance or sorrow, past or present, days to come or days behind. I believe there's one that's wanting to take the shackles off tonight. And I really hope right now that when the Holy Ghost moves in this altar service, the devil don't talk you out of making a move when the door's open. For after all of that commotion, he called for a light and he dispelled the darkness. And you're in a dark place tonight, but I believe there's a light shining that'll dispel the darkness of where you are. Robert Louis Stevenson, he wrote Treasure Island and other books. When he was just a boy, he was in a third story window. And a man was walking through the city, Brother Rice. He lived in the country and he'd never seen anything like this. And a man was walking down the street and he was lighting the gas lamps along the street. And he was walking and he would light this one and it would illuminate. And he'd go further and light another one and it would illuminate the darkness. And finally, Mr. Stevenson looked at his mother and said, "Look, Mom, that man's punching holes in the dark." Well, I believe the captain of our salvation has come to this meeting tonight to punch holes in the dark and let you see the light and let you see a way out. "Sir," that man said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe." There may be some of you may be saved, but you're saying, "What must I do to get some peace of mind? What must I do for the raging storm in my soul to be calmed by the peace speaker? What must I do to see beyond the valley where I stand tonight? What must I do to get a hold of heaven when I feel all of hell on my back? What must I do? Believe." Believe what? Not believe what? Believe who? On the Lord Jesus Christ. Is He still the Lord over the foundation? Is He still the Lord of shut doors? Is He still the Lord of shackles? Is He still the Lord of dark nights? But I feel like right now, some of you, the devil's just about got you talked out of believing. Lord, it's almost easier just to sit here in this dark cell because I don't have to believe here. And I don't have to walk a step of faith here. And I don't have to see beyond the circumstance here. But I'm calling for a light. How about you? Would you stand with me and would somebody come get me a song right now? I heard of a man that was incarcerated. And he was incarcerated even though he was innocent. He stayed in jail several years and finally, through further evidence, the man was granted a pardon. He was apologized to and they told him that you can go, you're free. But the man had got so low in prison and he got so sick in that cell. And when they opened it up, Brother Randy, and told him he could go, he was too sick and died in jail, a free man. And I believe the door's open, but the devil wants to get you so low and so down
and so sick in the soul that when God says it's time to come out, you die a free man or you die a free woman, too low to leave. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't say, I'm just going to try it just a little bit longer and see if I can make it and see if I can work it out and see if I can do it on my own. Why would you want to? He'll shake the place and he'll let you go free.
And I wonder, you say, that's where I am tonight, Brother Matt. I need the Holy Ghost to come down. And I need him to shake the foundation. I need him to open the door. I need him to loose me and let me go. I need him to shine a light in a dark place. Is there anybody here? You'd step out from where you're at right now. Come up here and stand and say, Lord, it's me. I need you to open the door tonight. Lord, I need you to give me some liberty and I need you to give me some strength and help to come out of where I am and get what I need from God. And I don't know what's going on and you really don't know me, and this is just my second or third service here. But as I was studying today and praying, I felt just like the pastor did. Somebody needs to get to Jesus. And you don't need to wait on it. But the Lord's here to help you right now. His heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to step out right now. I'm in a prison. I'm in a dark place. I'm shackled by fear and doubt, circumstance, family problems, mind battles. I'm weighted down with the cares of life that I don't even feel like lately that I could even go on any further. But he's going to help you go on. I want you to come up here and we're going to pray for you. He's going to help you go on. Come on, I believe there's several. You need to step out right now. And I wish I was preacher enough to preach like I need to preach right now.